peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd like to spend a few moments today talking to you about the ascension of our Lord. First, the facts of the case. Jesus, after his resurrection, spent 40 days appearing to his disciples for the following reasons. Number one, to prove to them that he was truly and really risen from the dead. Number two, to give them final instructions concerning the kingdom of God and concerning their calling to preach the gospel. Number three, to assure them that God would keep his promise by giving them his Holy Spirit. And number four, to commission them to preach the gospel in all the world. So he proved he was risen from the dead. He gave them final instructions. He promised them the Holy Ghost. And he commissioned them by his authority to preach the gospel of Christ. Then, after the 40 days, he was bodily and physically taken up to heaven in the presence of his chosen apostles. They were eyewitnesses of the fact that he was lifted up and taken up from the earth. And the Bible says that a cloud received him out of their sight. He ascended up to heaven, and he sat down on the right hand of God, which is the place of divine honor, glory, and power. And there, he continued to work with the apostles as they on the earth preached the word, and he confirmed the word with signs that followed. And you can read all about the signs that followed the preaching of the apostles by reading the book of Acts. So, as they were standing there gazing up into heaven, the angels of the Lord appeared to them and said, "Ye men of Galilee, what are you doing staring up into heaven? This same Jesus, which you have seen go up into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." So they received also the promise that just as they had physically, visibly seen him ascend, so when he returns on the last day, he will be physically, visibly, and gloriously manifested, and every eye shall see him. So those are the facts concerning the ascension of Christ to sit at the right hand of God. Now, the second part of my sermon today, I want to share just three of the benefits, blessings, and comforts which we may derive from the fact of his ascension to heaven. And number one is this: he led captivity captive. You say, "Wow, that sounds kind of obtuse." He led captivity captive. What does that mean? Well, in order to understand it, we have to look in the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And Ephesians chapter 4, it says this: when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. So what is that talking about? Paul is talking about the ascension of Christ in a way that is similar to a Roman general who returns to the capital city after he has conquered the enemies of Rome. And he rides in triumph into the city, leading behind him a host of captives that he has conquered. And so there is a vast parade with the victorious general at the front and a vast train of conquered captives who are led into slavery. And in addition to that, the general brought carts and carts and carts of treasures to bring to the capital city. So Paul, who had undoubtedly seen that kind of stuff, he likens the ascension of Christ to a victorious general returning home after he wins the war to the capital city to celebrate his victory. All right, so Jesus, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. That means he made a mockery of, and he conquered completely and thoroughly and utterly subdued sin, death, the devil, and the world. Sin, death, the devil, and the world. Until Jesus, sin held us captive and led us around like a boat tossed on the waves of the sea. But Jesus has dealt once and for all with sin by redeeming us from it. Jesus has canceled the power of sin and of death for everyone who believes in him. Now, none of us, we all want to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Why is that? Because death is the great unknown to us. And because it's a kind of a scary final thing. And because we feel in our hearts and we know, and Scripture teaches, that death is a penalty for sin. And so death is not a good thing. But Jesus has led captivity captive. He has subdued the power of death. And for the believing Christian, he has turned death into a restful sleep in the grace of God and the mercy of Jesus Christ. So that for a believing Christian, physical death becomes nothing more than an afternoon nap. Alright? Death has lost its sting because it is no longer for the Christian a punishment for sin. It is now a rest awaiting the great resurrection of the dead. He has conquered the devil. The devil owned every one of us before Jesus conquered him. And everyone who is born according to the course of nature, the prince of the power of the air, the devil, is in control of everything in their lives. But Jesus has conquered the devil. Jesus has put an end to his reign. Jesus has unseated him and taken away his power. He has taken us who were in the prison of the devil's bondage, and he has plucked us up and transferred us out from the devil's prison and has placed us into the kingdom and family of God Almighty. So that Jesus has led captivity captive. He has conquered the devil, the world, sin, and death. And he has given gifts to men. All right? What are those gifts? He said, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That means that through the preaching of the Word of God, he gives us the Holy Spirit and all of the spiritual benefits that we need in order to enjoy everything that Christ has redeemed us from. So, the first of the three benefits for us today, he led captivity captive. That means he beat his enemies on our behalf, and we are victors. Now, the second benefit for us today of Christ's ascension is that he opened the locked gates of paradise for us. You know, if you go back to the book of Genesis, you realize at the end of chapter 3 that the Lord God, he kicked Adam and Eve out of paradise, out of the Garden of Eden. And he sent cherubim, holy angels, with swords to prevent anyone from discovering the Garden of Eden and to keep the way of the Tree of Life, lest sinful human beings seal their fate forever by, in their sin, eating from the Tree of Life. So man was booted out of the paradise of God. He was excluded. Paradise was locked tight. But God gave a promise to Adam and Eve that one day the seed of the woman would conquer the devil on behalf of sinful man. And as a result, paradise would be opened up again. And so, in John chapter 14, we learn a little bit about this. In John chapter 14, he says this, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Now these are magnificently comforting words, because they tell us that Christ has thrown open the locked door of paradise for us. There is no entrance into heaven, no access to God apart from Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross in his resurrection and his ascension to heaven. He has thrown heaven open because he has atoned for the sins of the world. He has purchased our redemption, and therefore heaven is open. And he pictures it in this very pleasant way. He says, "In my Father's house there are many mansions." In other words, there's plenty of room for you in the Father's house. And he says, "I'm going there by means of the crucifixion, death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I do that, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." In other words, when you die, I will come to you and take you to be with me in paradise. And on the last day, I will return in glory to gather the church into the everlasting paradise of God. So, Jesus has opened the locked gates of heaven on our behalf, and now there's a place for us in the mansions of glory. There is a place prepared for us in the mercy and love of God so that we anticipate being with Christ forever. All right, that's number two. And the third great benefit is that the Lord ascended as our gracious mediator and advocate. Mediator and advocate. So, we turn to the book of Romans, and in Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, we read these words. It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You see that? That Jesus is at the right hand of God right now, and he is interceding for you. He is acting continuously as your mediator between God and man. He is pleading the benefits and efficacy of his blood and his once for all sacrifice on your behalf. Jesus is at the right hand of God, and he is all about seeking your benefit. That's a wonderful thing to know, that the Lord Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God with your blessing and benefit in mind. And so he is at the right hand of God. He maketh intercession for us. But that's not all. In 1 John chapter 2, 1 John chapter 2, we read these especially comforting words because, you know, we are still sinful people. We are still beset by many weaknesses. And when we look at ourselves, we see ourselves far below what we know we ought to be. And St. John says, 1 John chapter 2, verse 1, he says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not." None of us wants to sin. No person who has the Holy Ghost and true faith wants to sin. But man, we sure do fall into it, don't we? All right? We don't want to sin. And then he says, "And if any man does sin," listen to this, "we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." So we have an attorney for the defense, speaking up for us and defending us in the presence of God. We have an advocate, and he is pleading his propitiation so that the blood of Jesus shed 2,000 years ago is always and ever completely efficacious for the forgiveness of all sin, so that whoever comes to him and confesses their sin and seeks the forgiveness of sin has the assurance and the promise that he will bring forgiveness to us, because he is our advocate with the Father. He is the propitiation for the sins of the whole world, and if for the whole world, certainly for ours. So the third benefit and blessing today is that when Christ ascended and sat at the right hand of God, he did so to be our mediator who intercedes for us, and as our advocate who pleads the propitiatory character of his blood. What does propitiation mean? That's a fancy word, but don't worry. You're going to know what it means any minute, and you can take it and use it in all kinds of contexts. Propitiation means to turn aside wrath. Right? That's what to propitiate someone means, to make them to be not angry anymore. God, in his essence, cannot accept sin. He is angry at sin, and he must punish sin. How can God's wrath against sin be turned aside? Not by you and your works, but only because Jesus has taken your place under God's wrath, under the law of God, and he has paid the penalty which you owe to God because of your sin. He has paid the bill in full. And now he has turned God's wrath away from us, and God is well pleased to accept us on behalf of the propitiatory sacrifice of Christ. He is our propitiation. He has turned the wrath of God aside so that now we have peace with God, and God is at peace with us through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. So three things today that should comfort your hearts when you think about the ascension of our Lord. Number one, he has led captivity captive. That is, he has conquered our enemies for us. Number two, he has opened the locked gates of heaven, so that there is a place prepared for us in the mansions of glory, and he will come and receive us to himself. And number three, Jesus sitting on the right hand of God is, for those who believe in him, a mediator and an advocate, so that our sins may perpetually be forgiven and washed away. Now that is good news. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.